Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
Gary's with me in the studio, and is Greg on the line? No, he's not. He'll be here in a couple of minutes' time. But look, just to go back to Brooks Koepka, number one golfer on the planet, as he did, you know, going from wire to wire, huge amount of confidence even before the event, that the majors are something that he actually finds quite easy because he just believes that he has the mentality and the mental resolve to go and beat most of the golfers out there. And if he plays his game, he's not worried at all about who can challenge him. Yet, Gary, there's something about Brooks Koepka that people just can't latch onto. What is that? And why can we not embrace this guy? I heard today somebody using the analogy of Pete Sampras in the tennis. So yeah. Dominant, but yet just couldn't warm to him for whatever reason. Are we being too harsh on him?
I think we are, right? I just judge him for sportsmen and women for the sport they play rather than, you know, we all thought Tiger was, you know, this test tube baby that was created to dominate golf, and he was Mr. Perfect, and he turned out to be, you know, the complete opposite to what we thought that he was. He was put up on this pedestal. I don't like putting sports people up on pedestals. I just watch their sport, enjoy that they can do something that very few people on the planet can do, and judge him on that. You know, I don't want to see him, you know, opening villages in the middle of Africa and running water or whatever. Like, he's just a golfer.
Yeah, I don't think that they're mutually exclusive necessarily. I do totally buy that argument. Like, you, putting people up on pedestals, it's just you're waiting for them to fall and crash down around you. Yeah. So you're asking for trouble. But the other side of it is there's a natural charisma, charm element that comes with these sports stars. And I
think there's a responsibility.
Okay.
There's probably a responsibility. And he has been a lot more vocal in recent times. There is a responsibility when you're the best player on the planet, because all this pressure and hype that goes with that you do have to add a little bit more perhaps to what got you there. And that's why it's challenging for a lot of guys. And I think that's why we've seen a lot of different world number ones in the last kind of 6-7 years, when once Tiger kind of fell off the pace a little bit, but or he was injured. He's, you know, he doesn't offer a huge amount. I don't really have a problem with that.
No, I don't either. And I'm just trying to ask the question as to why it is that he's not embraced into our hearts. Greg is on the line now, and maybe might be able to give us the perspective of being there for the week in Bethpage with the New York fans, vocal as they were, which we'll come back to in a few minutes. But Greg, did you get a sense that, like, people are starting to come around to Brooks Koepka in terms of the respect that he should be afforded as a guy who's won 4 majors in the space of a couple of years?
Well, firstly, you know, you've got to respect this extraordinary achievement of 4 majors and 8 starts. Because remember, he missed the Masters last year. He was out for 3 months with a hand injury last year. So this is like a 23-month period in which he's been active for 20 months. And in those 20 months of playing, he's won 4 majors. Like, it's stuff that Tiger and Nicklaus didn't do in their careers. So we've got to afford him complete respect. Regarding his character, he can't be any other way. I really think he is just a quiet guy. He said something that was quite interesting over the weekend about people who he has really listened to over the years. And he named only a couple. And one of them that he name-checked was Graeme McDowell. And he said what he always listened to when he spoke to Graeme was how he goes about creating a score, making a score. Because Graeme, with the fairly rudimentary tools that Graeme has in his bag in terms of ball striking, has a great habit, certainly did between 2010 and 2015, of making a score. We know he won a US Open. We know he's a Ryder Cup hero. And he's done an awful lot more. He's won Scottish Opens, French Opens, back-to-back. You know, Graeme had a great ability to make scores. And Koepka, when he was on the European Tour, certainly got to know Graeme. And they both have Florida houses, so they would have got to know each other on practice grounds and on Florida golf courses. And he was one of the people he listened to. And he said that he listened to him, but he didn't often speak very much. And this is just Brooks Koepka. He's just he's a bit of a jock. You know what I mean? Like the American sports jock. We spoke about that last week, because he is a supreme athlete, a very, very, like Dustin Johnson is. They'd be good basketball players. They'd be good football players. They'd be good anything players. They just happen to be golfers. And he's a reticent character. He just likes to get the job done and doesn't necessarily want to project his personality, whatever personality he has. And I believe he does.
The thing about it as well is, I mean, this is a guy, Gary, who, you know, no silver spoon in his mouth here. I mean, Florida State went over, had to do it the hard way, got nothing handed to him when he came out of college, went the European Challenge Tour route, such was his conviction in his own ability, but also his determination to make it as a pro golfer. So this is a guy who was prepared to travel into the unknown with nothing guaranteed. I mean, that just really kind of underlines the respect that I have for him as well. So it's curious to me as to why he is not embraced as the phenomenal golfer that he is.
I don't know. I think that road that he travelled, like when he turned pro as a senior in college, which is his final year, it was Jordan Spieth's first year. They went to Q School at the same time, didn't get through. But Jordan Spieth was the young wonder kid who was going to get starts in the PGA Tour. Koepka wasn't going to get that. And he came over here. And I think that's the best route for a lot of these guys, especially for a lot of the Americans, because they get so pampered in the States.
Yeah, but very few are prepared to do that. And
yeah,
he did.
But the great ones are. Great ones go, you know, Tom Lehman went to play on the Asian Tour. John Daly went to play in South Africa. You know, the guys that want to will go wherever, you know, it's have clubs will travel. And I always find as well with Americans that have travelled, they're a lot more rounded opinion of the world than the ones that don't. And that is, I think, the reason why he is where. But as Greg said earlier, his injury, you cannot count out the effect that that's had on his mindset as well. Maybe he thought it was all over. You know, maybe this is, and he was a very young man. He was only, what, 27, 28 at the time. So this is, maybe he's just realised that I'm going to absolutely hammer this with conviction for 10 years and see where it takes me.
He's not lacking confidence, Greg. I listened to him on Saturday night being interviewed, and he said, yeah, I got this. I mean, and I'm the reporter in question asked him, look, is there any doubt? Is there any kind of sense of apprehension? He goes, no, I'm going to do this. Now, he did have his wobble on the back nine, and that made, as I said to Gary, for very entertaining viewing, but Dustin Johnson was coming at him, his workout partner. But he faced down that wobble, and he got past it.
I think the thing I liked most was the amount of emotion that Koepka expressed on the 18th green when he was hugged by Ricky Elliott, and a really deep, embraceful hug, which we haven't really seen anything in terms of emotional outbursts for Koepka in anything of his three previous major wins. This one meant a huge amount to him, because I think the key here is, as Ricky Elliott said in an interview, the history was going to be made either way. If he had blown a 7-shot lead, that had never happened before in a major. It could have ruined his entire career for forever and ever and ever, you know, because that's the type of thing which follows you around every time. I mean, look what the 2011 Masters has done with Rory. Every time he goes to Augusta, he's reminded of his 4-stroke lead going into the final round. Can you imagine if he blew a 7-shot lead? And I think really that this expression of emotion when he won on the 18th green was down to the fact that I think this was a huge moment for him to survive, because if he didn't survive, that could be possibly the end of the Iceman sort of mentality that he has. He would just be another very, very good player, prone to failure. But I think in a way this is going to serve him well. Nicholas was brilliant at winning tournaments, winning majors, by small margins, by having his own wobbles, but then fending them off and then being strong when it mattered. And Koepka was strong where it mattered. That par in 18 was really, really indicative, I think, of how strong mentally he was. Forget about the three-putt on 17. He still had that margin on 18. But the key was 15 and 16. Having followed those four consecutive bogeys, he piped those two drives, even when he knew his driving wasn't good. And he had the bravery to take at his driver on both of those holes, because you needed on both of those holes. That showed character. He showed a lot of stuff on Sunday, but I think the emotion and the character that he showed opened up his personality to us all to see.
Exactly. And also, you know, you have to factor him in now for the rest of the season in terms of the majors, particularly the Open Championship with Ricky on the bag. Gary, who knows that course inside out.
Yeah, that's his home track. Pebble Beach might take away a little bit of his.
That's more of a craftsmanship, a Graham McDowell type course.
I'd love to see Graham go back there.
It'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I think one thing that's never hasn't been mentioned is the course setup. If you look at the US Open, how much that's been a topic of conversation the last, I don't know, however many years. But the guy that sets up the USPGA, Kenny Hague, I think is his name. It hasn't even been mentioned, so you have to commend him as well. And maybe
it's great, isn't it?
Maybe the USGA should employ him, because he did. You could have made that course ridiculous.
Yeah,
and I think as well the conditions Had the conditions been normal, Koepka would have won it in a canter.
Yeah.
I think it was next to impossible coming in. You're seeing guys bogey in the last four or five, six holes. You know, you don't normally see that. And I think the conditions added to the drama more than I think.
It was so tough in that back nine that Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry finished the day in a top 10 and tied for 8th place, which, you know, didn't look likely really going into the final round, much less even halfway through it. Greg spoke with both of them after their final rounds. Let's have a quick listen to what they had to say before we come back.
I guess I ended the week on a positive note, so, you know, I made the most of my opportunity to, you know, I played well just to be here for the weekend and then to make the most of the opportunity to get to play an extra couple of days and shoot two good scores, especially today. I mean, it's so tough out there. So, you know, I've moved up the leaderboard quite a lot, and, you know, my goal at the start of the day was to try and get into the top 10. Not sure if I'll crack it or not. I'm 13th at the minute, but, you know, I played well, and it's 72-hole golf tournament and got to try until the very end, and I did that this week, and it wasn't good enough to be up there in contention, but, you know, I made improvements each and every day, which was a good thing.
Yeah, look, it's, you know, it's kind of, the year has kind of gone along nicely so far. You know, there's a nice few world ranking points, FedEx Cup points, Race Dubai points there on offer today. So, yeah, it's going along nicely, and I feel like I'm doing all the right things, and I just keep doing what I'm doing and see where it leaves me in November and December. I'm just looking forward. To be honest, I haven't been home in Ireland since February, so we're going home next week. I can't wait to get home. I'm looking forward to a couple of weeks off and then playing in Canada and the US Open. So, yeah.
Was there anything in particular which sort of flicked a switch after Thursday? Because clearly, one bogey in the third round, one bogey in the second round, one bogey in the final round, that's extraordinary around here.
Yeah, to be honest, Friday morning I was on the range and I was just hitting a few and I just found a rhythm, just found it. And, you know, it was great. It felt good for the last couple of days. And it's funny, you just find something on the range, and I just found it. It's nothing to do with my swing. It's just a time and a rhythm thing, and it felt good.
Can that stay for a while? Oh, maybe for the summer?
I don't know. If I could bottle it and bring it home, but sure, we know that won't happen. So we'll
stick
see.
It in the cork. Stick the cork in it, Shane. It'd be brilliant to see him go well at the Irish Open. I know he'd love to do it. But Greg, I have to say, I said to Gary at the top of the show, I was so impressed by how Shane grinded it away, played some really nice golf, and got himself into a position to put himself top 10. And you can hear it in his voice. You must have noticed as well in his body language how happy he is with his game at the moment.
Yeah, and you have to go back to Abu Dhabi, because going into Abu Dhabi, he was a player who had lost his PGA Tour card. He was facing into an uncertain sort of schedule, one which is going to be a messy schedule in 2019, but he wins his first tournament and everything changes. Now, he nearly won, certainly had a great run at winning the Heritage as well, because that was a tournament in which he almost had a gun-to-tape victory in the final round. He got caught, he had that double bogey in the 12th, but he finished top three, and he got up and down in the last to make sure he finished in the top three. So Shane has shown lots of heads-up type of grit when it counts, to keep going when things aren't going well. And you know, he's 32 now. It's time for him to do this, to add consistency to the huge amount of flair that we've seen in his ability. Remember, this is a guy who won the Irish Open this month, virtually to the week, 10 years ago.
Yep.
He was an amateur winning the Irish Open. And we've seen him win a World Golf Championship event. We've seen him win Abu Dhabi, hitting a 3-wood 281 yards in the final hole when he needed to. And at the weekend, we saw him one shot outside the cut line after 34 holes. And he birdies 17 and pars 18. Two really tough holes to make the cut. And then runs in the weekend with 68, 69. The best weekend of anybody in the US PGA Championship to finish top 10. This is, I hope, the new Shane Lowry.
He could go well in the Open as well, Gary. I'll be on him anyway, as I always am.
Absolutely, no doubt. And, you know, the hopefully he can continue on and get the FedEx, play the playoffs, and then it's back to Europe and there's much gold to be had at the end of the season as well.
Okay, Leona Maguire had her second victory as a professional over the last weekend. It was the Symetra Classic in North Carolina. Pretty much guarantees her full LGPA tour card for next season. This is what she has to say after a win.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice that I could sort of cruise in a little bit today. I got pushed down to the stretch a lot by Steph and EJ, but yeah, I've been playing some really solid golf. My putting's been a lot better this year, and I gave myself a lot of chances last year and didn't take them, but I was saying to my caddy, John, I think this week was more the bogeys I didn't make rather than the birdies I did. So to finish the last 2 weeks off with 2 5-under bogey-free rounds is pretty pleasing. Yeah, I got a busy stretch coming up, but really excited to tee it up in my my first two majors as a pro, and Irish golf is really on the up right now, and I suppose the 20 by 20 campaign, and anytime I can win like this and get more coverage for the women's game back home is only a plus, and hopefully we'll get a few more Irish girls out here.
Yeah, Greg, a lot of coverage for Leona, but she's always had to contend with this, and we were always expecting big things of her. It seems like she's taken to this pro game like a duck to water.
I think it's taken a little bit of time. This week, a year ago, she was still an amateur. I think she was turning pro around now. And it really didn't ignite for her enough. She had a very good couple of starts. She was third and 15th in her first few starts, but then began to slow down. And that was sort of inevitable in a way, because her college season last year was really tiring. And you know, she has, you know, you play for your college because they're the ones piling in the money to your $50,000 or $60,000 scholarship. So by the time she got to midsummer and the end of the Symetra Tour campaign that she had last year, which was only half of the Symetra Tour campaign, she had run out of gas. And now in the last six tournaments that she's played, she's had six top fives in six tournaments, two wins, and a very narrow miss in a European Tour event where she birdied four of the five playoff holes and still lost the playoff to an eagle on the fifth tie playoff hole. So that's nearly three wins in six starts, and it is two wins in six starts. We're now seeing something very special from Leona, which is, I think, someone who is putting as well as she does everything else. Sometimes putting, it's not like she's a bad putter, she's just not a great putter sometimes. Now she's putting great. Mm. She's adding it to all her other skills. She's just about long enough. She's about 255, 250 to 260 off the tee, and that's long enough. I think she'd still love to add a couple of yards, or a few yards. But she's becoming a bit of the complete player. I've said it all along. She's kind of a Luke Donald sort of player when Luke Donald is world number one. Good short game, good solid strong mid game, not very long, but very consistent. And let's see where she can go with this. She's on the LPGA Tour next year for sure now, and she's got half this season to take up invitations, I think, to play in the LPGA Tour, as she probably will.
Yeah, and be valuable learning curve as well for her ahead of her first full season next year. Greg, thank you so much for your time.
Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Over 100 years, Gillette has stood with men through early mornings, late evenings, and everything in between. Gillette, the best a man can get.